Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You can't eat money.
Every day that you open your mouth, I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
I'm just telling you what I remember. Holy moly.
And then right. One time they taste your blood and then they eat your liver.
Right.
She's a witch. She turned me into a newt.
That's the sound of the harmonica flying through the air.
Biologically speaking, very nice.
It's nice, okay.
It's nice. Beating a sheep to death.
Oh.
I got stuff for you you don't even know about.
Until I get my ham hands on you.
I know, it's got big ham hands. It can't do nothing.
That's what I'm saying. I never heard that. It's hands the size of hams. Who wrote this?
And you're like, oh, this is neat. I'll see this next year on an article.
Yeah.
Write my little paper and then send it on to the back of the house.
And then
the back of the house. Yeah.
Welcome to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast.
Hey, welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I'm the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I'm J-Clone 33.
And day 37, I just want the bell ringing, Mr. Krabs.
What?
They keep the Krusty Krab open when we record these back-to-back-to-back.
Oh, consecutive days or something?
Yeah, it's like, what a day! I mean, he's like getting more crazy.
Yeah.
It's not bad yet. It will be about 9 o'clock tonight.
We've been here since 9 a.m.
Well, yeah, but we had stuff to do. We were kind of started an hour and a half late. All right. We're on to Australia and Indonesia. Living dinosaurs sightings.
Ooh, so with the islanders.
I'm an island boy.
Oh, no.
I'm an island boy. It actually, some old-time episodes make another reappearance in this one.
Okay.
Mr. Kaminui.
Oh, the Kaminui.
So,
I remember him.
In these uncharted interior jungles of Indonesian islands, of, okay, I'm going to try to say this. Nusk M. Bengen.
Okay.
Nuskumbengen Islands. Come reports of some bipedal dinosaurian monstrosities known as the Kowuk. Kowuk.
Kowuk?
Kowuk.
Okay.
I actually have a little pronunciation thing for this one.
Okay.
So that's Kowuk.
Kowuk.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to say it like Kowuk.
With some abrupt, like.
Because that's the last noise you make fervor. As it's ripping you apart.
Kowuk.
Kowuk.
Mine better be like, Kowuk.
Kowuk. Like some.
That's when if you witness someone
Blair
getting.
Blair Witch Project.
That's when you witness someone
getting.
You're
underneath the palm tree. The Kowuk. No, this is the habitat itself is incredibly isolated. Sparse populations choked with a tangle of impenetrable jungle. With among these thriving midlands of wildlife can be found some quite unique, strange indeed. The Kowuk is said to be a giant lizard-like animal that walks on two legs. It's around 5 feet in height, standing similar to appearance to a massive monitor lizard or Komodo dragon. So they said it looks like a Komodo dragon or a big monitor lizard, but it walks on two legs.
Okay. Oh, okay. We've heard this story before. Not this particular, but...
No, it happens a lot.
Similar creatures.
Yes. The big difference between this creature it travels on two legs than those monitor lizards previously mentioned. This mostly nocturnal creature, said to the locals, is a favor raiding fresh graves, feasting upon corpses before scurrying back into the wilderness. They've been renowned to be very, very, very aggressive and to quickly attack even when unprovoked. So you don't see this thing and it just will fly out of the forest and just murder you. What?
It's not fun. Your reenactment you just did. No one can see that. Yeah. Anyone knows he like came halfway across the table at me like without no with no warning.
Yeah, that's what happened. Other sightings of this mysterious denizen of the jungle have been going on for ages. They've been pushed to the premonence of 2014 when a sighting made by a fisherman guide on an island. The guide, known as Hurry, said to a group of friends that reportedly saw a pack of these creatures circling a corpse of a recently deceased friend.
So these guys are scavengers.
We'll come back to all
okay.
of that.
Okay.
With grave robbing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because it's a weirdly kind of weird phenomena.
Oh, okay.
But it has connections with some other things. The guy known as Hurry said they've seen reportedly a group of these animals circling a corpse of recently deceased friends. There was allegedly around 10 of these creatures moving, which report Hurry and company to have the corpse moved so it wouldn't be devoured.
Okay.
Some theories as to what the Kowuk could be include a large undiscovered monitor lizard, remnant population of some sort of theropod dinosaur. So we'll come back to that. There's not a ton of stuff with the Kowuk. Like a lot of these Indonesian ones, because there's just not a lot of people. We'll talk about the Kamanui again.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how many people Kamanui Island had?
How many people?
Yeah. The Kamanui Islands.
It's very small, right?
Like 315.
Yeah, very small.
And they abandoned an island and a half for the Kamanui.
Because of this creature, yeah.
Yeah. So these guys are a lot smaller. These aren't Kamanuis, remember, they're massive animals.
Right. They were like super-sized Komodo dragons, right?
No, big emus.
Oh, is that one. Okay. What am I thinking of?
I don't know. We'll get
the
to
other
that.
Australian.
There's plenty. We'll get there.
Okay.
No, it's the Kowuk. 5 foot tall, very, very monitor lizard, raptor, dromaeosaur-like animal. So nocturnal, and they've learned to steal graves. So the guy, the Hurry's friend, had died recently
okay. And
was buried.
Okay.
So these creatures had dug him out of their grave and dragged him to a nearby beach to eat him.
Okay.
So they apparently scared him off pretty easy, though. So they're not very...
They're easily frightened.
In the open.
Okay.
In the forest, these things have the full advantage, and they will just gut
they're
you.
Ambushers, or
yeah,
yeah.
So it's very much like an ambush predator, where they, once they're in the open, they don't want to be. So this is a weird thing with the bodies, because several animals that have become man eaters and very, very dangerous have done this whole thing with corpse feasting.
Okay,
and even some paranormal things.
That's true.
Like actual ghouls. Like that, not the funny word we use in North America.
No,
discover,
and not like ghosts and stuff. Ghouls are like
a ghoul is a real folklore creature.
Yeah,
it was a grave robber, a corpse eater. During battles and stuff like that, they were often known to go out like right after the battle and torture people while they were still alive, while they're bleeding to death, and they harvested organs and stuff like that.
Ugh, probably yeah. for like
there's that. A reason when you got called a ghoul, why it was
yeah.
a real deep insult is because they were horrific monsters.
What were they like? Eating like the people dying. I'm sure they have like a hormonal rush through their body.
Oh, there you go.
And they're feeding off that.
There's other things that actually have scales that feed off of hormones, aren't there? Maybe reptilians?
Well, I mean, I was mainly in particular ghouls.
Yeah. No, I don't know. It just, it's weird.
Dark so, beings.
The goonch catfish.
Yeah, the goonch. Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah. So they were ones, when River Monsters, Jeremy Wade, the area that they think goonch were killing people, were areas in their culture, they burn, but partially burn corpses on the sides of the river.
Okay.
And then they push the remaining of the corpse into the river. The goonch catfish learned that when these pyres were being built, that there was going to be food very soon.
Right.
So they got bigger and bigger and bigger off of dead corpses, and eventually the corpses coming in weren't sustaining them. So goonch have the scariest teeth of any catfish. They just look like absolute monsters. And they can get 700 pounds, as far as we know.
Mm-hmm.
Started eating the locals.
Okay.
Mugger crocodiles are another one. We already mentioned them in the previous episode, and in actually in the Asia episode with mugger crocodiles. They'll do this corpse-eating ritual, same thing in the lower parts of the river. So goonch are the northern parts, the upper mountain parts of the river. Mugger crocodiles are lower down, and they'll start getting corpse fat and then start targeting humans, live humans.
Gotcha, okay.
So bait them up. It's just a really weird thing you see, digging up graves, but being 5 foot tall, theropod-like animals, very thin built, there's just not enough to really know about them. And Hurry's about the only named encounter we have.
What is it?
Hurry, the guy, the boat captain.
It made me think of, there's other, I just looked it up now, but from like the Philippines, I remember the grave-robbing ghoul, like when you were talking about, there's one there, it's called, so I looked up, I found it, it's called the Ball. I don't know if we've talked about that.
No, I got it right here next.
That would be funny.
I don't. Does it look like a dinosaur?
Huh?
Does it look like a dinosaur?
Not in the pictures really described. It's got the big, no, more a ghoul-like creature with wings, but this one has wings, so it's, but grave robbing, I don't know. First, I was just double-checking to make sure it didn't look the same, but it doesn't, but I could see how someone could describe some of its parts as dinosaur.
So the next one I have for you, while not being a dinosaur, is another thing from the Saurian age. So we just did our living pterosaurs episode a while back now. I don't know, a couple months. I don't know anymore. It all bleeds together.
Right, yeah.
But we also had on YouTube the exclusive, the pictures of a pterosaur. Alex's pictures. So another living fossil would be the Orang Bete.
That's right, yeah.
Which I believe was another Patreon episode.
I think so.
I don't think it was a Patreon episode. So we're going to give a real short glimpse of it, though. If you guys want to hear the full one, go join the Patreon. There's a Orang Bete episode. It's a flying creature said to inhabit the wilds of the island of Suram. Suram? I can never say it right. It's Suriname.
Serum.
No, it's Suriname.
Oh, okay.
Suriname. Anyways. Frightening locals with its long-told stories of this winged beast described as looking somewhat like an ape with wings. This creature is said to spew fuel from the volcanic cliff layer, descend upon locals, and carry off infants, small children, and small livestock. The creature reportedly has a black leathery wings with glowing eyes. It has been cruising the skies and the outside these islands, as well as missionaries, since the 15th century. One famous eyewitness account was made in 1987 by an English missionary, Tyson Hughes. He's from Ada, Ohio, who at the time was living among the local Mulkin tribe and claimed to have seen one of these fierce creatures for himself. It had been speculated that it was nothing more than large flying foxes, but the island teeming with large flying foxes, which so you'd think the locals wouldn't confuse a large flying fox for the thing that's carrying off kids.
Kids, yeah.
If anybody know, flying foxes are fruit eaters almost exclusively.
And they're not, they're big, but they're
huge.
Not, but they're not like.
Some giant flying foxes are like 6.5 foot wingspans.
Oh, okay, never mind then.
No, they're really big. Yeah. Some of them are really big.
But they're not carrying off kids.
They don't have the drive.
Yeah.
Anyways, fierce creature himself, they said it was flying foxes. On a team of them, you think the tribes people know the difference between the Orang Bete and the flying fox. One theory is that it could be the remnant population of pterosaurs.
There you go.
I don't know why we talked about plesiosaurs last episode.
Yeah.
But remote secluded civilization. The Ropen is also kind of in. We're not going to do a Ropen episode here because it's enough for its own episode. But yeah, so this kind of gets thrown into Ropen. So the Orang Bete has been seen, like, even in big flocks of them and stuff like that. They definitely fit the more frog-mouthed pterosaur look.
Okay.
That we talked about in our Living Pterosaur episode,
mm-hmm.
is that there are several types of pterosaur. They don't all have to have a beak and a big cone off the back of their head.
Right. Yeah.
There were plenty of pterosaurs that look like little fluffy frogs.
They don't have to be that typical
yeah.
one from the cartoons.
Yeah. So what do you think about these two so far?
But what do I think about them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're very prominent. Well, not the first. This that. Orang Batays, I mean, is a legend. Kind
it's,
of.
I kind mean, of. I mean, it's not the roping, but it's known.
It's pretty up there, I'd say. Yeah. Probably in this corner of the earth, much more so than it is ours. But, I don't know. Interesting accounts. Different flying creatures.
Another island that supposedly shares its home with living dinosaurs is a Papua New Guinea. As also the pyramidic land of the unexplored forest and thick wilderness. Apparently in this region called West New Britain, because that's of course what it's called, has long had some sort of mysterious semi-aquatic dinosaur creature prowling the jungles and waterways. Also known as the Kaminui.
Ah, there's the Kaminui. Which
I was told, okay, with the Kaminui, with that pronunciation. People told me I was saying it right. A lot of people told me I was saying it wrong. And one person got very upset the way I was saying it.
What'd they say?
Just that it was very not what I was saying, the very not right thing.
Was it a hurtful email? No. Okay.
I mean, they were trying to be. I don't care.
Oh, okay.
But it just was, I don't know. Sometimes I look at pronunciations.
Yeah.
This, even with the pronunciation, it's not spelled Kaminui, but I think it's pronounced Kaminui.
I know what you're talking about, so yeah. Message received.
There have been some rather recent reports of this beast. 2005 account of a witness called Robert, who said a long-necked, tailed, turtle-like head being around 40 to 50 feet in length, smooth brown skin walking on two legs, covered in robust, like, downy feathers. This creature was observed eating vegetation, and when it finished, it entered the water and swam away off towards the direction of another island. The witness would later show be booked of dinosaurs and stuff like that, and he said the Therizinosaurus matched it the most. It does have big claws, not nearly as big as like the Therizinosaurus. But
right.
Also in 2005, there was a sighting made by a couple, Margaret and Simon, when they're visiting the beach of an uninhabited Delio Island, when they spotted a reptilian-like creature estimated being 65 feet long.
That's
having a long neck and a head like that of a dinosaur with an oval face.
Hmm.
The creature's skin resembled that of reminiscent of a crocodile, and it posed some sort of dermal frill down the length of its back, as well as something protruding from the back of the creature's head.
Ooh.
The monster was briefly was briefly seen before retreating back into the water and sinking down to the depths. The Kaminui has also been witnessed as well, including one occurrence swimming between these islands, the Argama Island and the Algin Islands, with its head above the water, on another label lounging on rocks in nearby water. So,
can emus and ostriches swim?
Yes, I don't know if you remember that. Cassowaries and emus are really good swimmers.
Okay.
Emus really like the water.
Hmm.
So this is like, a lot of Papua New Guinea people say it's like a gigantic cassowary or emu.
Okay.
Like, but it has arms. So if you remember with a full-length episode, like I said, there's like a half-hour special on the Kaminui. It has big claws, very aggressive. Most of the time it's seen with that feathery, downy stuff like emus have. Very colorful. The areas, it has one island that's completely abandoned by the locals, and then the half of another island. It really doesn't venture into the other half of the island because it's where people live. It kind of, it's shared coexistence kind of deal. But they say if you go near it, it will murder you.
Hmm. You think
typical herbivore behavior.
Right, yeah. You think Therizinosaur, though, is a...
I don't think it's an actual Therizinosaur, like, species.
Yeah, but something
that... A similar dinosaur, sure.
Yeah, that body plan or that...
Yeah, similar dinosaur. It doesn't have to be a Therizinosaur whatsoever.
Okay.
Just like they said, that's when the one... Therizinosaurs had a beak. They had a small turtle-like head, big long neck, big round body, big arms, big thick legs, a big long tail. I've seen Therizinosaurs, like... There was a couple other dinosaurs that were like that, too, like non-Therizinosaurs. They had different shaped bills and didn't have as nearly big claws. I'm trying to remember. There was one that had a hump on its back that had not long claws like the Therizinosaurs, but big, round, like, bear claws.
Okay.
That looked terrifying.
Short, tough.
It was another herbivore.
Gotcha.
Because it was missing its skull, because they have tiny skulls. It was missing its skull, and they're like, this must have been a really scary carnivore. And they find the skull to finally go with it, and they're like, oh, it's just a really mean herbivore, which also occurs in nature a lot.
Right.
So, yeah, the Kaminui would seem often swimming in between islands, Not a care in the world. I love the video of the kayaker. I can't remember if it was a cassowary or an ibu now. But he's out in the ocean like 4 or 5 miles with kayak fishing. And he sees this thing swimming straight at him. And he's like, what is that? And it's big, long, tall head you see coming.
Yeah.
Swimming. He's like, what? What is? And then it's an emu or a cassowary. And it's swimming to an island that's another 5 miles behind him. He doesn't know where that island is.
Oh,
but
wow.
But this emu is like going. It knows exactly where it's going, swimming in between islands. I can't remember if it's emu or cassowary.
Man, they can swim that far?
Yeah.
Do they float?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it makes more sense.
A little bit. Not like a duck, but yeah.
Okay. Well,
they're really powerful legs.
Yeah, they got big legs.
And they're really mean.
Yes, that's true.
So sharks are like, you know what? That's not a lot of good meat for what's going to be a really bad fight.
Right, because the legs look a lot skinnier than the rest of them.
So, yeah. The Kamanui, that's a little short version of them.
Okay.
But another one, it's just these weird island. Like, it's a big animal. The one report saying 65 feet long.
That's ridiculous.
I found therizinosaur reports. I think a lot of times they say they're going to top out at 40. If you look at a lot of the theropods, which Therizinosaurus was, so in the family of T-Rex and Giganotosaurus and Giganotosaurus, mm-hmm. they really all top out like that 40 to 42 foot long with a little bit of wiggle room, you know, 45 to 35. You really don't know.
Yeah.
That's still a mountain of an animal.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I just think there may be a little bit of what we talk about with brain exaggeration.
Seen it bigger than what it was.
If you see a 30-foot-long animal, it might as well be 100-foot long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, an elephant's like 15, 20-foot long and 12 feet tall.
No way. They're way bigger.
They're huge. Don't get me wrong.
No. Yeah.
But an elephant is not even like close to that size.
Right. Yeah. No, not even close.
So when you see something that's 2 or 3 times the size of an African elephant.
Super megafauna.
It might as well be the size of a building.
Gigafauna. I think that's what they call them.
Gigafauna.
Is that a real term?
No, but it is.
It should
now.
Be.
It may be. It may be one of those. It may be one of those weird terms out there.
I think whales are gigafauna.
I think that would be the appropriate
blue whales.
One.
Yeah.
I think
the gigafauna.
I think humpbacks and bigger could be gigafauna.
Or maybe bloops are big gigafauna.
Oh, that state size.
That's
animals?
Titan fauna.
That's just titans.
Well, you gotta add the fauna.
You just made me laugh. Also, in British New Guinea is a curious account from explorer C.A.W. Mockerton, who in 1910 saw something rather bizarre as he was ascending in the remote Mount Andrew Edwards.
I thought you were about to say C.W. McCall. Come on, Morse, it's ready for a convoy. You know that song?
No.
You know Convoy.
I know Convoy. Okay. As he traveled in his perilous route up the mountain, he came across humongous tracks of what appeared to be an enormous reptilian-like creature. He would later call the Gazak.
What's with these names? The Kwak and the Gazak.
It's the language.
It's just how you pronounce things in this area of the world.
Well, I have little pronunciation guides for this specific.
I just like I use it. I don't know. It's fun.
Sorry. I won't do it again.
It's great.
He would later allege that he came across a village of pygmies under attack by some sort of monstrous beast, which spurred him into action, firing upon it. Newspapers would read this of the encounter. A huge Gazak at once turned upon him, and it unreeled upon its hind arms, and it pawed at the air, and it looked at the hunter as big as a house, standing fully 25 feet high. Two of Muckaton's bullets seemed to take effect as the steam of blood flowed freely from the animal's shoulder. But before Muckaton was able to reload, the animal turned and fled. By the time it was too dark to follow, so never had another opportunity to renew his pursuit.
Mm.
So this huge beast, very similar to the Kamanui,
is attacking this town of pygmies
up in the mountain.
Yeah,
pygmies. I don't know. Once again, it's the language of the day. I'm sure it's not a good term.
Well, I mean, there are like in remote forests and
there
like,
are tribes of what true pygmies.
Yeah,
I'm assuming the people he was talking to were not pygmies.
Could have just been smaller though people, Mitch. You know, not saying that they're pygmies, but it may back then that's how he describes people.
It's 1910.
Still.
No, he was the big hero and came in and fought the dragon.
Right, yeah. Well, he didn't kill it, but he scared it off.
Yeah, I picture like, because the way he describes pygmies, I like picture Smurf Village.
Yeah, exactly.
And like a turkey.
I was at first until you said 25 feet tall. Then I'm like, oh, okay.
Which, you know, definitely he's writing the story about his heroic encounter.
Right, yeah, he killed a turkey.
And it was probably an emu.
Yeah.
Or a cassowary.
Now that would
which they do. Kessler is the most dangerous bird on the planet. They kill a lot of people.
Yeah,
and then you see people feeding them French fries like tourists.
Wrong. It's not, like, not good. Not smart.
The problem is tourists run into emus first, which are much friendlier,
more docile,
and they can kill you. They're not going to.
Yeah,
it takes a lot of work for an emu to kill you.
Kessler is
a Kessler has an 8-inch claw talon knife, and they'll just rip.
Okay. It wants to kill you.
They want you dead.
Yes.
They want you dead. They want you not to be alive.
Right.
So another strange one in the Guzak. It just sounds like a Dr. Seuss book.
Kind of, yeah. I think he, it wasn't If I Ran the Zoo, if I'm not mistaken. I think he did capture one of them.
A Guzak?
Yeah, he got a Guzak. I put him in the back, and I don't know.
Fed him through a sack.
I fed him later to an alligator.
There you go. So yeah, that's some of these island ones. So what do you think of these island monsters?
This one didn't have the best description. The Guzak.
No, he doesn't. He just made it. Make sure you know it was as big as a house, and it was scary. And he shot it, and it died.
No, it didn't die. It ran off. Bled off. And then nobody or.
I saved this tribe of pygmies.
Yeah, this one does sound a little funky, doesn't it?
Yes.
Perhaps so.
Now, I think he may have... So, I think a lot of these have nuggets of truth. I think he probably did see maybe a weird creature.
Yeah.
Or maybe the tribe he ran into talked to him about some of their legends.
But he saved them. And
he added some details.
He had to make it a better story to take back home.
Yes.
I
saved these poor, dumb savages from a Guzak.
Exactly, yeah.
That's how they talked in the day.
I know,
they did. It was episode... Was that North American episode? Where did we... South America, savages.
South American, yeah. They referred to them as savages. And like the 19...
The poor people living there and like, hey, we probably shouldn't camp here. There's a monster.
Yeah.
You dumb savage.
Right, yeah. It's ridiculous.
Like, what? I live here. That thing eats alligators.
Like I said, I don't know. Maybe I'm hoping it meant something a little different back then, but probably not.
I don't think it did.
Yeah.
Savage or pygmy?
I guess both.
Oh, no. Savage meant exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's not a good word to ever be called.
No, I mean, no, especially...
Unless you're, like, really good at something, and well, you're a savage, that's different.
But when they were there, when they were talking to these people and calling them savages,
yeah,
it was to dehumanize them.
Right, exactly, yeah. Awful.
Yep. All right. You ready for the next one?
Yeah.
We're going to Australia, mainland. Mm. Aboriginal folklore. A new monster. You thought about the Bunyip?
Yep.
Well, the Burra Junior... Or the Burrajura? Burrajura.
Okay.
Burrajura.
It's too many letters for me to try to spell in my head.
Burrajura.
Okay. I think he's related to the kookaburra, right?
The kookaburra, yeah.
Which we heard one the other day.
Yes, we did. So the Burrajura forms part of the Australian Aboriginal history in Croatian mythology. Depicting of which suggests it looks very much like that of a dinosaur. Many accounts imply like that of a theropod dinosaur, but it's maybe one of the only surviving species of a massive dinosaur in our world.
Mm.
But then some other depictions show this much more of a smaller predator. Some accounts suggest that it's much more descendant of maybe a megaraptoroids, or just such as a raptor. At the same time, the Burrajura could belong to a dinosaur species that has not been featured in the fossil record at all. Oh, so there's very little information. I'm reading this off of an Aboriginal website that kind of breaks down some Aboriginal folklore.
Oh, okay.
At the same time, the Burrajura could be, like I said, belong to dinosaur species not featured in the fossil record. All my items have appeared on the Aboriginal mythology, which paints the Burrajura as much more of a giant two-legged lizard. All the sightings, of course, according to the majority of the sightings of this creature, could put it around 20 to 25 feet long. Bipedal in nature. In addition, it has small clawed hands, and possibly some of that, the Burrajura could be like a T-Rex.
Hmm.
Over the course of the 1950s, it seemed that this creature had leapt out of mythology and became a real-life problem. So the Burrajura did kill a lot of things in people.
Okay.
Many cattle ranchers in Australia reported sightings of a humongous, large lizard-like predator eating and carrying off their livestock whole.
Wow.
Partridge Creek Beast.
Yeah, very similar.
Most of the ranchers found bipedal tracks of a three-toed imprint that linked them between traditional accounts. So a lot of these early Aboriginal tales kind of tell about its footprint being like that of a supersized, they don't have turkeys, but like a supersized emu or a turkey. these big three, like just massive, you know, bird-like prints. Some of the earliest accounts of Aboriginals suggest that the Barujura was a large reptile, but it said it also had feathers. It appeared to diet on the Barujura included kangaroos and any large animals, therefore suggesting the predator of measurable size. The bipedal footprints would suggest a dinosaur-like creature, distinguishing it from other assumptions, such as similarly prehistoric giant monitor lizards. You know, Australia is not shy of having giant monsters running around.
Not at all.
And if any place, a rainforest of Australia or any of the rainforests in the world is going to house a dinosaur, I'd believe it would be Australia.
Is that where this one is? It in the rainforest area?
It's all around. It's Aboriginal legend. So okay. We'll talk about. But one thing is clear. A lot of people are seeing something very unexpected in the Australian wilderness. The ancient predator for a taste of cattle. The foremost evidence of the existence of the Barujura comes from digital history of the Aboriginal Australians. What it makes up a good start, the history depicts the Barujura coming from the Westerns could have been told about the existence of dinosaurs. In addition, cave paintings throughout Australia have shown depictions of this creature. Although these show a number of variations, just like our friend the Bunyip, the basics are consistent. The cave paintings look like a carnivorous dinosaur. Whether it sometimes has horns, sometimes it does, like, there's a lot of extras and stuff added and taken away.
Yeah.
But it's very basic. If you melt it down, it looks like a theropod dinosaur.
Okay, simple enough, yeah.
Now, some of you may assume that the Barujura exists only in mythology and the Aboriginal people. However, there are some strange anomalies in the landscape that Barujura is said to inhabit, which might suggest it's not just a legend. For example, the Australians can tell you that the territory the Barujura inhabits, just like any other animal of the outback. Where the Barujura has its lair, it's also notably free of other large wildlife, mostly predators. So one of the signs they talk about moving in, this is me talking.
Okay.
One of the signs that they talk about moving in the Aborigines are like, you start seeing crocodiles, dingoes, those kind of animals will start not being around these areas that the Barujura is in. Now remember, back to South America.
Same exact account as
when
that.
When they start seeing all the alligators.
In the marshes of the
Cayman started disappearing.
Yep, in the Amazon forest.
You start seeing systems. The monsters.
Yeah.
Crocodilians aren't dumb. They've been around for a long time. Even they'll even avoid supersized members of their own species, or they'll avoid whole areas. They know what's going to eat them, or what will stomp them to death.
Right.
So they'll leave.
Like, they know if it's a threat, if it's just like a real predator, or if it's just a kid with a butterfly net whacking its back over and over.
That happens. So why would animals fear roaming these areas? Well, its sparse vegetation is everywhere. It seems to be known as something is living there, and they're afraid of it. Then there are encounters. Take, for example, the case of explorer of the Northern Territory, Brian Clark, who had ventured into the wilderness of Arnhem Land to get himself lost. You know where you don't want to be lost?
Yeah.
The Outback?
No.
Because you know where you're not?
Mean Australia?
You know where you're staying?
The Outback.
The Outback.
Yeah.
You know who's coming to find you?
The Outback.
Nobody.
Oh, death?
Yeah. Man, that guy in the cloak's been following me for a long time.
Like 3 days.
While Brian, he took a look around for 3 days to find his way back. It was what the search party found was real interest. The three men, two Aborigines, one local police, had gone in search for Brian and reported hearing the sounds of a loud grunting and puffing noise at night. Like something like that.
Okay.
In addition, the statements of cattle ranchers from local farms also strengthened the belief in the existence of the Barujura. Researchers stated that the difference occasional in 1980, the big predator was stealing and killing their cattle. Apparently, the predator was large enough to carry the cattle off.
Okay.
So, this is something would step over fences.
Yep.
Grab cattle.
And walk off with them.
And keep in mind, these are people that deal with crocodiles, the biggest crocodiles in the world.
These are Australians.
These are Australians. Yeah. They deal with monsters every day.
Every day.
Something, it's just crazy to me that they're like, it's Aboriginal folklore. A cow.
Is gone.
Got carried off. There's a hole in the fence.
Yeah.
The Yowies are all dead.
Well, let's not go too far now.
I think that was our second Bigfoot being eaten by a monster joke. Initially, the ranchers believed crocodiles may have been the potential culprits behind the disappearance in livestock, but cattle were not being dragged into the water, and fences were not being tore apart, so this would exclude crocodiles. Finally, the cattle ranchers came face-to-face with the animal that was attacking their livestock. Charles Waterman stated that he saw a beast standing at least 20 feet high, carrying off a cow in its jaws into the brush.
Okay.
So he's seen a giant reptile, as best he could describe it, walking on two legs.
Carrying off
holding
a cow.
A whole cow. I'm putting emphasis on this. For anybody that doesn't understand...
how big cows are?
Cows are big. Even a small cow, 1,000 pounds. I'm not a calf, but, you know, a cow.
Like, yes.
1,000 pounds.
Not a baby, not a toddler, just...
Now, lions and tigers, they can drag 1,000-pound animals up trees and stuff like that. They drag them.
Or they don't pick them up and carry them.
They don't pick them up.
Yeah.
I would take something like a... short of... to carry a hippo away, or not hippo, a cow away, would take an elephant. It would be kind of our smallest animal to actually...
Short-faced bear.
I think they would drag, because they're not tall enough.
Yeah, true.
You got to remember, you got to get... cows are big, you got to get it off the ground.
They could stand on their back two legs and hold them with their arms.
There you go. Another possible evidence of the existence of the Barujura comes from a much earlier account by ranchers. Another similar story, though. In 1957, ranchers near MacArthur River in the Northern Territory reported an unexpected sighting. Before I read this, MacArthur,
mm-hmm.
the Bunyip episode, we talked about the MacArthur River a lot.
Okay.
So there may be a chance that the Bunyip, some of the Bunyips, could be
something
Barujuras.
Oh, okay. Some overlap.
Yeah. Because remember, we talked about some of the Bunyips. You remember that? Think back to the Bunyip episode. Remember some of the Bunyips? Were said to be feathered dinosaurs that would come up out of the water.
That's, yeah.
And it was these random weird ones. Those may have been Barujuras.
Yeah, because the Bunyip had a wider range of...
The whole...
descriptions. Yeah. Yeah.
Almost 50 cattle seemed perplexed and stunned and started running towards a nearby river. The rancher heard loud grunting noises as they fled the scene. Someone is reported seeing a silhouette of what appeared to be a giant monster running towards them in the scrubland nearby. The following morning, ranchers discovered the mutilated bodies of 7 cattle. Most of them were half-eaten as if they were bitten in half.
Wow.
Based on the injuries found on what remaining livestock they had, these reports from the 1950s and the 1980s seem to be really the same. Whatever is killing these cows is very large, powerful, and aggressive. That is the Barujura.
The Barujura from Australia.
I think what I said about the Bunyip is why we don't have more information on the Barujura. Because I think a lot of it is being lost in Bunyip lore.
Yeah, I can see that.
And because I mean, really think back. We talked about that for the Bunyip episode, that there was this weird group of Bunyip sightings that said they were theropod-like dinosaurs.
Right.
Covered in feathers coming out of the water to attack things.
Right, exactly.
And I think those weren't Bunyips. I think those were Barujuras.
Barujuras, yep.
I want a Barujura shirt.
Oh, I thought you were just kidding. You wanted a Barujura.
I do want a Barujura. There's actually, funny enough, there is a Barujura exiting sign in Australia.
Okay. Crossing?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So I just seen, I think it was on TikTok, where an Australian guy was flying down the highway, and he's like, he's recording his phone with all the friends in the car, and he's like, wait a minute. And he backs up like a mile. You get to the sign, and there's a Barujura on it.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's a what in 14 kilometers?
Yeah.
It doesn't say anything. It just shows Barujura crossing.
Yeah.
And that's right by MacArthur River.
Mm.
Yeah, interesting stuff. All right, before we continue on, we're going to take an ad break.
I, the great and powerful Mr. Ree, had devised a diabolical plan. I am going to bring back a dinosaur so they can reveal their secrets of dynamite flavor. Hit the Ree! What is that coming out of the tube? It's a dinosaur! Oh my gosh, what is that in your claws, dinosaur? Is that flavors of the forest, Bigfoot breath, raw garlic dust? Oh my gosh, this is the best stuff. It truly is dynamite! If you guys had this, how did you go extinct? Ah, taxes. Gets us all. If you want some of this amazing and dynamite garlic dust, you can get it at flavorsforest.com/corn or the link below.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back.
Oh, that dino sound still frightening me.
Make sure you get it. So I messed it up one time when we were recording that.
Oh, that.
I had the wrong, like, URL. All right, ready for a really fun one?
Okay, yeah, I'm ready.
The Row. I mentioned this in episode 2.
Okay.
Do you remember this? Mentioning this in episode 2? It was just 4 hours ago. I don't know why you don't remember.
The Row, yes. Because I was going to call it the Go Row. But it's not the Go Row.
No, the Go Row was last or 2 weeks ago, Monday's episode.
I was going to say in episode 2, but
Go Row.
But now since this it came around,
this is the Go Row's cousin.
Ah,
not really. So this is from Western New Guinea.
Okay.
So we'll talk about it. There's not a ton. I don't have a ton on this. Row is a humpbacked, massive dinosaur-like creature around 40 feet long. It has a long neck with a very slender neck, also, and a short, stubby tail. It has a small beaked turtle-like head, and abnormally with a bony frill off the back of its head, armored with a sharp beak. The front legs are very short, and are much shorter than the hind legs, so it kind of has the reverse sloped back.
Yep.
Which would mean, I don't know, it's a very odd thing for an animal. Allowing the row to rear up. So that's one of its defense mechanisms.
Say, yeah.
Which we know a lot of sauropods, they had specialized hip girdles to allow them to stand up. We don't know if it's for feeding or defense. To me, it's really hard to think about an 80-ton or an 80-ton animal trying to defend itself.
I'm saying sexual display.
There could be that. Their arm, like the wrestling type thing they do. Yeah. Anyways, back to the row. This bulky body with a light brown yellow, blending in with the reedy swamps it lives in. It is covered with uneven scaled armor plates. It has a line of triangular plates, almost like, imagine like a very watered down version of Stegosaurus plates down its back. It's a long tail tipped with a single 12-pointed, spike. It's called a thagomizer. So it has like a stegosaurus-like thagomizer on the end of its tail. But it says it has 12 points on it.
Okay.
Some thagomizers did, some didn't. You know, Stegosaurus is the famous one, had 4. But Kentosaurus, I think, had like 30.
Okay, it's like a mace?
Yeah, it was bad. It was just an animal of spikes.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so. And its crest section resembled that of a series of splayed cones. On the side of it wore down, it was dragging along the ground. So, very much kind of like if a stegosaurus, a sauropod, a long-necked dinosaur, and a turtle had a baby.
Okay.
Or a long-necked ankylosaur.
I'm trying to pick that.
So the ankylosaur is the big armor-plated guys?
Yeah.
So it has a really long neck, though. They had stubby necks. But a tail, but had a club on the end of it, too, with spikes.
So it was a hodgepodge.
Is it? It sounds almost the exact same description from the South American beast we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Where they had trouble, where there was apparently a body that disappeared.
Yeah, right. Yep.
It really sounds like that thing where it had the plates on the back, the turtle-like head. This one had a frill. I don't know if the South American one had a frill. But these armor plates on its body, and the big long tail with the spike on the ends.
Right, yeah.
And stubby legs. So depictions, like, there's people that talk about this thing fighting off, like, it's very low to the ground. It's very big and heavy. So big crocodiles will try to come at it, and it'll raise up, and then that has that super long neck, and then it instantly looks like it's a skyscraper.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So quick summary. The roe is encountered by Charles Cannibal Miller and his wife, Lena, on their honeymoon in western New Guinea jungles. Considering that they lived in the Kuri, an undiscovered tribe, or they lived with the Kuri, an undescribed tribe of cannibals, they were served cooked babies.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's like human babies?
Yes. Lena noticed that the Kura using implements that resembled elephant tusk. Keep in mind there are no elephants or rhinos near this region.
Okay.
These provided their roe horns, is what they called them. Charles managed to make it understood that they wanted to see the creature where it came from. The Kura obliged and journeyed it took a few days into the roe's habitat. So I'll go back. So they were living with this tribe of cannibals, the Kura.
Right.
The Kura ate people. So there's different types of cannibalism and all around the world.
Okay.
This is predatory cannibalism.
Okay.
This is going to other islands. And as far as I understand with the Kura, I don't think they're around anymore. I think somebody a little bit later came through and cleaned them out.
I don't know. I was thinking, was it the same people that was on Wild Boys? Is that what it was called when they met?
That was a different group.
Okay.
That was in India.
Oh, okay. I'm not
sure. So they met these guys. There's arguments whether Charles and Lena, his wife, if they knew they were eating the babies.
Okay.
They may not have had a choice because you're living with this tribe of cannibals.
Yeah. You're either going to follow along what they're doing.
Or you may be tomorrow's course.
Right, exactly.
So he was dubbed a cannibal for the rest of his life. You know, it followed him forever, obviously.
He ate the babies?
He had to because he was living with the tribe of cannibals.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So, like I said, are you going to oblige? No. Or are you going to be the next main course?
You can't just do that thing where you just, like, pretend and chew it up and then spit it into an
all
napkin.
These cannibals are just staring at you?
Yeah. And go, oh, look over there. I don't know.
And they're staring at you like starving dogs?
Yeah. Show us that. I don't know.
Yeah, so not good.
Their mouths are drooling.
Yeah. So they journeyed to the roe's habitat, which took a few days. Oh, so anyways, as they were eating, they seen the tusk. Being roe horns. They weren't tusks.
That's what they called me, roe horns.
They found a roe in a swampy river delta between two arid plateaus. So they were pretty easy to find, or they were pretty easy to find at the time. The sight was enough to paralyze Miller with fear. Did not have a long enough to prevent him from filming it. The roe's head rose up from the reeds at the end of a long neck. Its tail lashed as it was called out. It reared several times, glancing in the direction of the whirling camera, before slithering away into the disappearing behind a stand of dwarf eucalyptus.
Mm-hmm.
So some people paint this more like there was a couple sauropods that had spikes on running down their backs.
Okay.
It's really hard because there's tons and tons of dinosaurs that look tons and tons of different ways.
Okay.
But yeah, so very dinosaurian though. So this is the first and last written account of the fabled roe. Because the people that were seeing them were active cannibals.
Yeah, they're probably not the most. They probably don't have the best written history, you'd say.
I mean, I think they do. I just don't think you want to go talk to them.
Oh, okay.
And you don't want to go where they live.
I was just gonna say I wouldn't trust their judgment if they're eating people.
Well, you don't know. It may have come. You can't judge anybody's lifestyle.
I guess.
No, because like I said. It could have came from a starvation or a sickness on the island.
Yeah.
And then it became tradition.
Hmm. Still.
Or
I wouldn't
it could
trust
be,
them.
Like some of the jungle, some of the more, there's very few actual places. Cannibals are really, really rare.
In yeah. Humans. It should be.
But it's like TV, kind of like cannibals, unconnected right. Cannibals.
Hype them up.
Not true most of the time.
I guess just either way, anyone that eats people for whatever circumstances they were in, I'm just not going to trust their judgment or my safety around them.
No, I wouldn't trust your safety. But I do think they probably have fine stories.
Here's a row out here, just in this very remote area, way out here.
Well, they asked, how do you even connect with the cannibal tribe?
I don't know.
And how do you, guarantee your safety?
I'm assuming, a letter?
I'm assuming they ate the messenger. They ate every mailman. You think they're going to stop getting mail?
Pony Express.
They ate the horse, too.
Oh, okay.
No, so I don't know if it's, there's also cannibalism of, the dead.
Yeah.
So, and that happens a lot in jungles.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we talked about with jungles, biodiverse, not bioproductive.
That's right.
Very a lot of species, not a lot of actual food.
They're going to create prions.
So, yeah. So they talk about that there's that kind of cannibalism where they have to recycle nutrients. Like, yeah. They can't afford not to.
Hmm.
Which is a lot better than...
Yeah, it's better, but...
Especially when it's everybody that has the understanding.
Yeah.
You know, if you know it, but you know what's going to happen, and it's not a bad thing. It's not like people are coming for you.
Right, yeah, and it cuts you by surprise.
So, like I said, the first and last written account of the fabled roe.
What's for dinner?
And he apparently filmed this. No proof of this.
Okay. No film out there that we can find or track down.
Yeah, although there are a few sightings in the Dutch East Indies explorer in the colonization, seeing a giant reptile with a long neck, humps on its back, and also having a turtle head. Interestingly, however, they documented in Rex and Heather Gilroy's fascinating Australian cryptozoology tome, Out of Dreamland, which I have to see. Reports of a Neo-Dinosaurian cryptid of a similar-sounding name of the Ruha, which probably is pronounced Roe.
Okay.
But it's spelled completely different.
Mm, but probably came from the same origin.
Which had been populated, emerging elsewhere in New Guinea. But especially Papua New Guinea for the last century. Explorer Miller did not bring back the photographs of any of the roe tail spikes. The film he took, however, of the roe allegedly shows in the selected individual, but has no words of any saurian creature in it. Even the kura, to the best of anyone's knowledge, really probably don't exist.
Okay. It's just all folklore, you think?
Or he made it all up.
He did.
That's one thought.
Okay, that's just a speculation.
Yeah. And taken at face value, the roa appears to be a combination of features of sauropod, stegosaurian, and carasaurians, all unrelated dinosaur lineages. So this is most likely a hoax.
Okay.
But to me, it was just so weird how similar it was to the South American one. And there's no real proof of either way, if this is real or not.
No tangible evidence.
Because he doesn't have any of the proof he said he had.
Mm-hmm.
He could have made up the cannibals. It could have also, cannibals could have been cleared out by the Papua New Guinean government.
Ooh, and they blamed it on the roe.
Well, no, the roe didn't do nothing to nobody. It was a big turtle, lived in the swamp.
Oh, okay. I just thought it'd be an excuse for the government to be like, oops, the cannibals are all gone.
In the turn of the 20th century, a lot of cannibal tribes were systematically wiped out.
Yeah.
Because they were cannibal tribes.
Prions.
Yes.
That's why.
No, so I don't know. This is most likely a hoax. It just was neat to me how remarkably similar. And then, like I said, the Dutch East Indies Company, also one of the explorers from there, said they've seen a similar creature somewhere else in Papua New Guinea.
Hmm.
So I kind of wonder if they are just one of these few, if they are dinosaurs, if there's just a few of them hanging out in the swamps. Thousands of islands.
Right, absolutely.
Thousands.
I was just looking up Papua New Guinea on that thing.
It's crazy how literally much room there is to hide and how many of these island chains, like the Kamanui has 315 people in that whole island chain.
Mm-hmm.
And they live, I think 91 of them live on one spot.
Oh, gotcha. So yeah, again, to stick with the theme of all these episodes, remote areas, remote locations with
very,
not a lot of people.
Very much. The Burajura is another one that's just, it's way out there in Australia.
Yeah.
The areas it's seen, now they're not as remote, but when it was being seen, definitely still the outback.
Right.
There's nothing out there. And I think that's some of these areas, I think people have the idea that
if there's no people, there's no animals, right?
There's that. There's definitely that thought.
Yeah.
Believe me. But more that humans have conquered everything on the planet.
Right.
And there's no wild space left.
Right. Nope.
No real wild space left.
Not true.
I mean, elephants can hide in Asia still very easily.
And as the time passes, you know, and humans are far and further removed from areas for longer and longer periods of time, it might as well be reclaimed area by the time someone rediscovers it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As far as vegetation growth and all things can change in a matter of, you know, year, you know, centuries over time that we haven't been. It might as well be brand new land, undiscovered, because it is.
No, I completely agree. Another thing, just the Roe one, it's really hard for me to believe that. I can believe he made up everything. Explorers did that constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Made monsters in these journals, very, like we said, a hybrid of all kinds of dinosaur types, it seems.
Yeah.
What's weird to me, though, is he said he ate a baby.
Yeah.
And he gets monikered that for the rest of his life.
If it's just a story that he really chose the wrong.
I don't know. That's my, I don't, to me, it's just, it's very hard pill to swallow that
he'd make that up.
That he made that up. That was the lie. I mean, saying you ate people, maybe one thing.
Yeah.
With your cannibal tribe.
Maybe he thought
a
like,
baby though.
Maybe he thought like this will really boost the shock and shock value. This whole thing.
It could have easily been that,
but it backfired on him.
I mean, he got the cannibal for the rest of his life.
Right. Yeah. He's like, ugh.
And then the film thing. Obviously, the film never surfaced and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The Dreamland documentary. I cannot wait. Heather and Gilroy, which they're super famous in Australia for cryptid researchers.
Okay.
Rex and Heather Gilroy. Out of Dreamland, I gotta see it. But yeah, I don't know. So that is Australia and Indonesia.
Oh, our island boys.
I'm an island boy. I mean, imagine the row just looking at you going, I'm an island boy.
I thought it was the cannibals singing it. Were those guys the island boys? Are they the cannibals from that tribe? They look like they could be.
I'm not scared of them. They look like they're 90 pounds each, soaking wet.
Yeah, because when you're malnourished and you're eating like
human feet. Did you see
feet.
Everybody? I know everybody loves our side tangents. Except new people. I don't know why.
Oh, well, Did you see that flavor.
The world's strongest man in the boxing match or the kick fighting match?
Yes, fighting two people.
Well, it was brothers, and they said that they could easily take him. Did you watch it?
I did. That was Eddie Hall.
Eddie Hall, yes.
Big man.
And he's pretty nice as far as I understand.
He seems fun. Yeah, he seems like a good guy.
With kids and stuff like that, and he drives a tank around.
Yeah,
he screws with this local government.
He seems like a cool guy.
You ever seen that?
I have not.
He drives a tank.
Yeah.
And he's kind of not supposed to.
Yeah. Who's going to stop a 400-pound, 6-foot-8 tall
monster
mountain?
And driving a tank. Because he fills it up, and he was showing us the video of him filling it up.
Uh-huh.
And
at the gas station?
He did $600, because it stops every $100. Or not dollars, whatever, euros.
Gallons?
No, every $100. He did $600, and he already had $150 in the tank.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know how big this tank is, but I'm done. And he's like, I'm tired of walking back and forth inside.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, he wiped two men out.
Two professional fighters.
I'd argue that.
They are. They've won. They both separately won their weight class.
Yeah, I still argue that they're professionals off that performance. They look like scared little...
No, they were going for him. They were at him constantly.
Well, they tried until he grabbed one.
No, he knocked the one out flat.
Right before he knocked him out, he picked that man up.
And flung him.
Flung him,
but
threw
him. But they were still at him.
Yeah, he picked the guy up, he threw him. The guy got back up, come running right back at him, and then he punched him in the face and knocked him out cold.
He didn't punch him. Swatted at him.
Yeah, it was just a swing. He swung his arm, but he connected right in his face.
Because it wasn't a punch.
No, it was a swat. It was like a hook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just went out.
Out cold.
And then that other guy was about to die. Because when he didn't have to focus on two of them.
You're dead.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Indonesia, island boys. these island giants, these jungles, Australia specifically, and Papua New Guinea, all these tiny islands out in some of them aren't tiny. That's maybe a misnomer.
Right, and like New Guinea is not tiny island.
No, it's humongous. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. These areas are humongous and unresearched, and the natives know. Like, I'm a big believer in the native stories. You have to be.
Yeah.
And I think plenty of people ignore those. So the natives are telling you there's a giant emu with murder claws that lives on that island. That's why we don't go to that island.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what's probably living over there?
Right.
You think they wouldn't be using the resources on that island if there wasn't a giant murder chicken?
Right, exactly.
And they're like, yeah, we get a share. Do not cross that trail. We did that in the original episode of the Common Dude. We talked about the I think it was a white guy on vacation there, like exploring.
Yeah.
Went over there and just never came back because the murder chicken got him.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I'm not, yeah. Just probably. Exploded in viscera.
Yeah.
No, these ones, I don't know. Like you said, all these areas have been super remote.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not saying I don't have a dinosaur walking downtown for you.
New York City dinosaur?
Mm-hmm. Dinosaurs, we're back.
Yeah, the movie.
That's a good movie.
Good movie.
No, so any last thoughts for the island boys? If I remember, that'll be what this episode's called.
Okay.
Australia, Indonesia, living dinosaurs, the island boys.
Yeah, that's a good one. No, what's our next one? Next episode.
Europe.
Ooh.
Probably my least favorite on the list.
What? Okay.
Because it doesn't go good for any of the dinosaurs.
All right.
I have been the great and dynamite mystery.
And I've been J-Clone 33.
We'll catch you next week with European living dinosaur sightings.
Bye.
Hey, guys. guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.